Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Alder from AB Motorsports, and you're listening to the Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the February 16th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 101 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, we'll continue our preview of the Homestead 500. Get ready for the NASCAR season, talk a little bit of ARCA, and chat about whatever other exciting news of the world of modern motorsports that pops into the conversation. This weekend, the high banks of Daytona will roar back into action as NASCAR begins their 2017 season. Our first guest this evening is fresh from practice on the high banks of Daytona. At just 10 years of age, Michael Self began racing go-karts in Salt Lake City, Utah. Just 5 short years later, in 2006, Michael had won 4 local Utah state karting championships, 2 Western United States regional karting championships. Been ranked as one of the top 3 best kart racers age 16 under in the U.S., and had been selected to represent the United States at the World Championship junior karting level. By 2010, the then 20-year-old driver had raced to similar results in full-size race cars, amassing wins in the open-wheel Formula Car Skip Barber Racing Series, as well as the NASCAR Wayland All-American Series Late Model Stock Car Division. Michael joined 15-time championship-winning team at Richard Childress Racing, home of the late Dale Earnhardt Sr., as a development driver with Golden Gate Racing Team in 2011. Under that banner, he went on to accumulate 6 wins in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West between 2012 and 2013, including a win at Phoenix International Raceway and a win at the K&N East-West Combo Race at Iowa Speedway, where he became the first driver from the K&N West Series to win the overall event. In 2015, Michael became the first driver from Utah to compete at the national level of NASCAR when he made his Xfinity Series debut for Johnny Davis Motorsports. In just his 4th start, he earned a series best finish of 11th at Wisconsin's Road America course. When not on the track, Michael coaches and spots for various drivers, most recently guiding Justin Haley to his 2016 NASCAR K&N Pro Series East Championship. Today, you can catch him in the number 28 Sinclair Toyota in the storied company's first appearance in the ARCA Racing Series. We're now pleased to welcome Michael Self into the Thunderdome. Hello, how you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you guys doing tonight? Or how are you doing, I should say?
Not too bad, thank you. First off, how was your off-season?
Off-season was extremely busy for me. Spent a lot of time focusing on this season and trying to come up with a schedule of races and working and mending my deal with Sinclair Oil Corporation to get them back in the ARCA Racing Series and get them back on track, especially here. Daytona this weekend, I got engaged, which was really exciting. I've got an awesome fiance, Dana, that we're in the process of wedding planning right now, so that took up some of my off-season time, as well as school. I'm in school full-time, and that took up a lot of my off-season as well.
What are you most looking forward to at Daytona this weekend?
That's a good question. I think the answer to that is honestly representing my sponsor, Sinclair Oil. I love driving the car that they've given me, and love the dyno on the car. I think it's the best sponsor I could ask for. I think it's the best mascot I could ask for, and it honestly just makes people happy, and that makes me happy when people see the car and they like it and give me good feedback on it. So anytime I get to drive that car with the dinosaur, it's a cool experience for me, and love talking to people about it and getting the feedback on that.
How do you feel about the composite body cars in ARCA? Do you think that they've improved the sport?
I do, absolutely. In ARCA, as well as over in NASCAR and the K&N side of things, they've taken a couple of years ago, ARCA, when they were still running the steel body cars, it kind of got a little bit out of hand as the steel body stuff got in the cup cars back, you know, years and years ago. There were a lot of guys that were really figuring templates out and how to manipulate the bodies, and the teams with the higher budgets were definitely taking advantage of that, and it caused a pretty big difference in the competition, I feel like, especially when you got to the bigger tracks. You still see a lot here at Daytona and Talladega. You would see it a lot at the mile and a half and 2 mile courses there. And so going to this composite body, I think, has evened a lot of that out. The composite body, you can't twist up nearly as much as you can a steel body corners. You can't get away with tweaking the areas that the templates don't meet to. And so it takes a guy that has a little bit less funding and gives him a more competitive, a more fair shot on the bigger tracks and even the shorter tracks. And I think that ARCA has gone the right direction on that. I think that's one of the best things that they've done. And I'm looking forward to seeing that composite body on the Xfinity cars, those four races this year. I think that's going to be exciting. I think that'll do good things for the series as well.
How did your practice go this evening?
Practice went okay. Definitely could have gone better. We ended up 12th overall on the speed charts. Just a lot to learn. Today was my first time ever drafting in a pack, and that was there's a lot to learn to that. But I think our car is decent. I think the MDM Motorsports guys are going to give it a little love and work on it a little bit tonight, and then we'll do the same thing tomorrow morning for final practice to see if we can gain a little bit more time in the draft, just trying to get our car to close up to the guys in front of us a little bit better and not be so dependent on having a pusher behind us. But all in all, it was a good day out on track. It was a day on the track, which is exciting for me, and it was always something fun for me to do since I haven't gotten to race a whole lot over the last couple of years. And I can never complain too much about getting a chance to drive, especially here in a place like Daytona International Speedway.
How have the more engines changed competition in the series?
Going to be a very similar answer to my answer about the composite bodies. I think the Elmore is probably the best thing that ARCA has done to make the series more competitive. It took a series that had gotten a little bit out of control with guys that were able to afford Joe Gibbs Racing build engines and Richard Childress Racing build engines, ECR engines, Hendrick Motorsports engines, that there was no way the middle or back or less funded teams would have been able to compete at that level against those motors. And took the Elmore, which is a very reasonable price, and made it something that was affordable for all teams, and the motor is spec. It's not something that a guy can take and open up and do a whole bunch to. So everyone that has the Elmore can be sure that they're within the same horsepower bracket as the guys running up front. And it takes a lot of that out of the question out of the equation from a horsepower standpoint and from a cost standpoint. And I think any time that you can do that, I think that's good. I think that's strong for a series.
What race are you most looking forward to in 2017?
To be honest, I only know of one that I'm doing, and that's Daytona on Saturday. So that would be the one I'm looking forward to most. I want to go out and make the most out of that race and just do everything right for the guys out of Sinclair Oil Corporation and give them a good showing out there. And I think if we do that, it might open up a couple more races about 2017. But for now, I know the one that I'm doing, and that's going to be my favorite one.
Most of the people who listen to the show are probably aware of Sinclair Oil and the fact they used to have gas stations all across the country and everything. But can you tell us a little bit more about your sponsor and how you convinced them to come back into auto racing?
Sure, and I hope that people do remember that. It's always cool when I hear stories of people that remember Sinclair when it was around in the 50s and the 60s, and I get a lot of people that say, hey, I remember Sinclair. I didn't know Sinclair was still around. And that's because since the 70s, Sinclair hasn't been around all that much. And I believe it was in the very late 60s they got bought by ARCO. So when that happened, a lot of their East Coast gas stations disappeared and became ARCO stations or other stations. And in the 70s, the Holding family bought the Sinclair subsidiary and started rebuilding those stations and rebuilding the Sinclair brand. And as of 2016, Sinclair is a 100-year company, which is an incredibly, incredibly impressive feat. They've got about, I believe, just over 1,500 gas stations, almost completely west of the Mississippi as of right now, but they are expanding. So for the people that listen that do remember Sinclair or that are haven't seen a Sinclair in a while because they live out east, hopefully they can look forward to seeing one again soon. Last year they opened up 6 locations in New York and New Jersey, and they're planning on rebuilding down the East Coast as especially over the next couple of years, and trying to regrow that national market that they once had. And so Sinclair has taken a lot of and put it into their stations the last couple of years, rebranding, rebuilding them up, putting a big focus on their image and the cleanliness of their station, and especially the quality of their product. And they've got a phenomenal gasoline product as well as an incredible diesel product, one of the only tier one diesel products available in the Rocky Mountains for 18-wheelers, which is really cool. They also have a large supply of merchandise available for people that want dino merchandise. You can get stuffed animals, you can get soap, you can get paperweights, you can even get blow-up dinos, as well as a whole list of different lubricants that they have, as well as asphalt and jet fuel. So wide range of things in the fuel and the petroleum industry, and just a great company. Their executive offices are located at Salt Lake City, which is where I'm from, with two refineries in Wyoming. And so I'm really, really proud to represent a company that calls my home close to their home, and to bring them into the ARCA Racing Series, where ARCA prides itself on B2B relationships and building sponsors up that may not be at the spending level of the NASCAR Truck Series or Xfinity Series just yet. ARCA gives a great amount of exposure for the buck. It's got loyal fans who we love talking to and hearing from. And to bring them into auto racing for their first time has been really cool, especially as they try and focus on rebuilding out east and rebranding some of those stations, hopefully giving some of the fans out east, especially where ARCA races, the mentality of, hey, I do remember Sinclair, I want to know more about Sinclair, and they'll be ready to see a station coming close to them.
I know you said you were in the top 15, you said you were 12th in the practice today. I was wondering, what do you think the chances are of there being a dinosaur in Victory Lane this weekend?
Daytona, I don't know. Having it be my first time race here, I think there's a lot of variables. And I think there's a lot of things that are going to be out of my control and out of the team's control. I've got a lot of confidence in this team and you guys at MDM Motorsports always put together good cars, whether it's K&N, whether it's ARCA, or even the Truck Series they've crept into a little bit. They always figure out a way to work on it and get their cars up front. So from a team and a car standpoint, I think we'll be fine. I think we got a little bit of work to do, but I think we'll have a competitive shot. Now, as far as on track and who we're around, we just have to do what we can control and what we can look out for. And if we do all those things, take care of ourselves and make the right decisions, we'll have as good of a shot as anybody here. We have to avoid all the wrecks, avoid all the carnage, and be one of the ones in that top five there getting towards the end of the race and hopefully be able to make a move.
Well, we wish you lots of luck this weekend, and hopefully you'll pick up a few more races along the way and have a great year in ARCA.
I appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
Thank you very much, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Once again, that was Michael Self, who'll be competing in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend, and he'll be at least in one race in the car. Hopefully, he'll be in the rest of the season as well. I do have a soft spot in my heart a little bit for the Sinclair Oil Company, being my last name is Sinclair, although I don't have any real direct connection to the family. Not that I know of anyway, although there's always that little chance of having $1 billion shoved in an account somewhere for you. You never know. One can hope. With that, let's go ahead and take a little short commercial interruption here.
Daytona International Speedway. Redefined everything 30. 30-second stereo radio, HISC 0100.
The Daytona 500. It's the race that defines legends. And as the world's only motorsports stadium, Daytona International Speedway is the place that redefines what a race can be. You can experience it all and witness the next career-defining NASCAR moment at the Great American Race. But hurry, the 2016 race sold out, so don't miss out in 2017. The Daytona 500, Sunday, February 26th. Guarantee your seats at 1-800-PIT-SHOP or Daytona500.com.
As the commercial just stated, there are tickets available for all the races of Speed Weeks. So you can go to 1-800-PIT-STROP or go to DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com and check that out. We've got an awesome schedule of events, which we're going to talk about momentarily. The schedule at the World Center of Racing tests both man and machine. Speed Weeks, which began at the Rolex 24 at the end of last month, has been compared to the Super Bowl, and with all the action both on and off the track, you'd be hard-pressed to argue against it. Even though ratings have declined and the overall track capacity has gone down over the years, the majesty of the Daytona National Speedway is still there. Here's the schedule for upcoming 2017 Speed Weeks activities at Daytona National Speedway. All times are Eastern. Today, Thursday, February 16th, the ARCA practice took place from 4 to 6 p.m., as stated by our last guest. He did pretty well. Hopefully, our next guest had a pretty good run as well. On Friday, February 17th, tomorrow, the final ARCA practice is from 9:30 a.m. until 10:30 a.m., with ARCA qualifying at 3:30 p.m. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series practice, which is a mouthful, and you'll get used to saying that eventually, will take place from 5 p.m. to 5:55 p.m. and can be seen on Fox Sports 1. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup practice can be seen again from 6:30 till 7:25 p.m., also on Fox Sports 1. That is their final practice of Friday. On Saturday, February 18th, the day begins rather late, I suppose. It's an afternoon start for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup practice, running from 12:30 p.m. until 1:25 p.m., which can also be seen on Fox Sports 1. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup practice, the afternoon practice, the second practice of the day, will be held from 2:30 p.m. until 3:25 p.m. Can also be seen on Fox Sports 1. And the ARCA Series, ARCA Racing Series race, which I believe is the ARCA 200, don't quote me on that, will take place at 4:15 p.m. and can also be seen on Fox Sports 1. And then the Advanced Auto Parts Clash at Daytona can be seen at 8 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Now, that's a really busy day of racing from little afternoon until late into the evening on Saturday. Seems like Fox Sports 1 is your only source for NASCAR information on Saturday anyway. So it'll be pretty cool. Keep your TV on that channel. Then on Sunday, February 19th, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Daytona 500 pole qualifying takes place at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and that can be seen on Fox. I know there were local channels giving away tickets to the event on the 19th, Sunday tickets. Fox 29 had some tickets. So as part of their NASCAR promotion, you had to answer a question about who was celebrating their 50th anniversary of winning the Daytona 500 this year. For those of you who don't know that answer, you probably shouldn't be listening to this program, but I'll give you a hint. His name starts with an R and ends with a Y. His last name ends with a Y. He drove a blue car. People called him the King. Then there's a little bit of a break until later in the week. On Thursday, February 23rd, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup qualifying race practice takes place at noon on Fox Sports 1. Then the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup qualifying race practice also takes place at 1 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Then NASCAR Camping World Truck Series practice takes place at 2 p.m., also seen on Fox Sports 1. Then NASCAR Camping World Truck Series final practice at 4 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. The first Daytona 500 qualifying race takes place at 7 p.m. and it'll be shown on Fox. And the second Daytona 500 qualifying race takes place at 9 p.m., also be shown on Fox. I'm not sure what the new names of that is. You'd have to look that up on your own. On Friday, February 24th, NASCAR Xfinity practice is at noon. That can be seen on Fox Sports 1. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup practice is at 1 p.m. Can also be seen on Fox Sports 1. NASCAR Xfinity final practice is at 2 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup final practice at 3 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. NASCAR Camping World Series qualifying 4:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, the Next Era Energy Resources 250, takes place at 7:30 p.m. and can also be seen on Fox Sports 1. Then on Saturday, February 25th, NASCAR Xfinity qualifying takes the track at 10:30 a.m. on Fox Sports 1. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup final practice is at 1 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then the NASCAR Xfinity Series Series QQQ 300 takes place at 3:30 p.m., also on Fox Sports 1. And then Sunday, February 26th, Daytona Day. the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Daytona 500 takes the green flag at 2 p.m. on Fox. With all that action, it's hard to imagine why the drivers put themselves through it. Perhaps it's because they have a devil in their helmet.
Sorry about your race car. You sure looks bent. Will you be here next week? And are we still friends? I really didn't mean it. It was a racing deal. I got a little too close. It got a little too real. Then you checked up in the corner and I tapped you in the rear. You were spinning somewhere and it's all so clear. There's a devil in your helmet. Who's on tonight?
Devil in your helmet.
Devil in your helmet. Giving bad advice.
Devil in your helmet.
It's been a good day so far. I put her in the show. Sitting nice and pretty outside front row. Two laps later, babe is on a rail. Going for the lead with the devil on my tail. Then wham bam, thank you ma'am, where'd they all go? Late break, burn, turn, there's the wall. No, please not the radiator, please not the clip. You may be the savior, but here's a little tip. Well, there's a devil in your helmet. Who's on tonight?
Devil in your helmet.
Devil in your helmet. Giving bad advice. Trailer, take her to the shop. Lay in bed, toss and turn. Well, shouldn't I not? Plan a little payback, plan a little hell. Y'all shake your hand, pal, but only time will tell. If there's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight?
Devil in your helmet.
Devil in your helmet. Giving bad advice. Well, so the story goes,
devil in your helmet,
devil in your helmet. And now everybody knows,
devil in your helmet.
And now everybody knows.
Hi, this is Jack Baldwin from GT Sport Racing, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder.
This weekend, sports car fans will flock to the Homestead Miami Speedway for the next FARA event, the Homestead 500, which is being held on February 18th and 19th, 2017. This event will feature sprint races, practice, and qualifying on Saturday, and the main event, the Homestead 500, on Sunday. There's also a sprint race on Sunday morning at 10:30 in the morning. The event also features food trucks, vendors, and for the kids, the Autism Soccer Kids Zone. Fox VIP will be open on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. On Saturday, before the event, they'll be hosting the HPDE Driven to Perform Driving Academy for all streetcars. It also looked like the Rusty Wallace driving experience will be heading down there. We saw the their Dodges going down I-95 this morning. Entry at the gate will be $25 for all who don't have tickets. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Gates open at 9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. And you can visit farausa.com/e-ticket for a free ticket while supplies last. I'm pretty sure there's still quite a few supplies, as they did send out additional reminders today for anyone who already printed out their first ticket. So that's kind of interesting. Now, let's go ahead and listen to an interview we held a little bit earlier in the year. Actually, I believe it was last year, with John Hunter Nemechek.
On the show again. I know you've had some pretty good success in the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series. And I want to ask you, what's been the most important thing you've learned in your time in NASCAR thus far?
The most important thing I've learned in NASCAR is had to be patient. Without patience, you aren't going to run well, especially at all these racetracks that we go to. In the trucks, it's very hard to pass aerodynamically, from getting underneath someone to getting loose under them to being behind someone and getting tight behind them. So you have to learn all the aspects of the aerodynamics, but you also have to be patient when you're making passes.
Do you think that having experienced all the major tracks in the circuit so far will help you succeed in 2016?
Most definitely. I think having experienced all of the major tracks, especially at the last seven for the Chase, now that we've won a race, we're Chase eligible. So very looking forward to going to those racetracks for the second time, knowing exactly what I need in the truck in order to run better. And then plus, we have notes to fall back on.
What do you think some of the qualities are a young race driver needs to succeed in the series?
You definitely have to have talent. You have to know when to make a move, when not to make a move, how to race people. There's a lot of things that you have to learn in order to make it, to race against the veterans. I mean, anyone can run in the series, but to run competitively, you have to be able to learn from the veterans around you, ask questions, figure out the racetracks, and then also have good equipment.
Which track are you most looking forward to this season?
That's a difficult question. I'd have to say all of the Chase tracks and then getting to that Final Four at Homestead. I mean, to win the Drivers' Championship, you're going to have to be there at Homestead, so I'm looking forward to that one.
How do you feel about the rule changes instituted by NASCAR this year, such as the caution clock in the truck series?
I think the caution clock was a great addition. It actually helped save us last week at Atlanta. Just being able to utilize that for one of our resources and being able to play the strategy game with it. I think it's going to be a good addition. I mean, last year, if you go back and look at the races, there was only five times that it would have been used throughout the year. So we've already used it a couple of times. I'm sure we'll use it a couple more, but I think it's going to make for great racing.
If you were in charge of NASCAR for one day, what changes would you make?
That's a difficult question. I wouldn't say there would be one certain thing I'd change. It would have to be multiple things that you'd end up changing in order to make the series better or to make the cost go down, whatever it may be, to make everything better from a fan perspective.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I know what I would like to be doing is, I mean, in 5 years you want to be running a cup car competing for wins and championships, but we're going to see what the time brings. Take it day by day and work our hardest to get to that point.
Well, wish you lots of luck for the rest of the season, and thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
That's all, Bob.
Hi, this is John Hunter Nemechek from Nimco Motorsports, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
NASCAR today announced the 2017 stage lengths for each race in all three of its national series. A number of factors went into determining the lap count for Stage 1, Stage 2, and the final stage of each race, with a singular goal in mind, the best racing for NASCAR fans. According to Scott Miller, NASCAR Senior Vice President of Competition, every track is unique for its characteristics in length, surface, and overall racing conditions. We were all over with these teams expect fuel and test runs over the entirety of an event when considering stage lengths. And in the end, stage lengths were decided based upon what would provide the best race for fans. Last week, NASCAR announced the stage lengths for Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, season opening Daytona 500, February 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. For the Great American Race, the stages are scheduled to end on lap 60, lap 120, and lap 200. We have a few moments until our next guest is scheduled to call in this evening, so let's go ahead and listen to another recorded interview. This one from James Hinchcliffe of IndyCar, where he discusses his work in IMSA, as well as his return to IndyCar after a long absence.
First off, congratulations on your return to IndyCar racing. How did it feel to get back in the car after your accident?
I mean, you know, obviously that was the entire reason, you know, I went through everything I did was to get back in the car. That's what the last 10 months have been working towards. So for me, it was great to be able to get back to the track with everybody and get those competitive juices flowing again. So it was very, very exciting weekend for sure.
What are you most looking forward to next weekend in Long Beach?
Next weekend's Phoenix.
Next weekend's Phoenix, okay.
It's getting back to oval racing, obviously, so it's something that I haven't done in a while, and we had a pretty good test there, a few weeks ago, and it's just about, again, getting back to that style of racing, because it's very different, obviously, for street course racing, and one of the best parts about IndyCar racing in general is that we get to go to all these different kinds of tracks. So it's just going to be exciting to get back to that type of track.
Do you think the new aero package modifications made in the car will help you be more competitive this season?
No doubt. You know, Honda put a lot of work into the car in the off season. You know, both the aero kits and the engine, and there's no doubt that the gap's a lot closer than it was to our competitors. You know, it really puts us back in the race, and we saw that in St. Pete, and hopefully we see that again in Phoenix and carry out for the rest of the year, and we'll slowly try and make the cars better and better and try and pull out front of the competitors.
Growing up, who was your favorite driver?
Greg Moore was my favorite guy growing up.
And why is that?
Well, you know, he was Canadian, and he kind of got into IndyCar racing right as I was getting into go-karting, and so the timing of it all was pretty convenient. And, you know, on top of that, he was a hell of a great racing driver. He seemed to be a great guy, you know. So as a young kid who was just getting into the sport, it made it really easy to sort of follow him and idolize him.
It's been several years now since Firestone became the sole tire provider in IndyCar. Do you think they've done a good job in that role? And what improvements still need to be made, in your opinion?
Honestly, Firestone, I think, is one of the strongest partners that IndyCar's had, you know, over the last, decades. You know, they go back to the very beginning of racing at the Speedway, and they've been a dominant force in the tire category for a long time. And, you know, what we do going racing on ovals at 230 miles an hour is very unique in motorsports. And, you know, I don't think any tire company is quite as accomplished and does quite as good a job as Firestone does in that arena. So for us, you know, as IndyCar drivers, we're incredibly lucky to have a partner like them, and we think they're doing a great job.
How do you feel about the push-to-pass technology? Do you think it's been overused, or what's your opinion about it?
No, I think push-to-pass is a great tool. You know, it certainly doesn't make passing easy. It's not that at all. It kind of makes those, you know, maybe moments a little bit less questionable, which I think makes the racing better, you know, and everybody's given the same amount, and, you know, there's some strategy as to how you use it. So, you know, for me, I find it a fairer tool than, say, DRS, like Formula One uses. That's proximity based. This one, like I said, there's some strategy involved to when you use it and when you don't. Do you use it to attack? Do you use it to defend? And I think it's a cool added element.
Many of your compatriots in the IndyCar paddock have competed in at least one event in the FIA Formula E Series in the past year. Will you be seeing you in any FIA Formula E races in the future?
I mean, I'm open to driving anything if I get the call. It's something we toyed with when I was still driving for Michael, but there are no immediate plans, but that's not to say that if there was an opportunity, I wouldn't take it.
And speaking of you making the call, I know you raced in the Rolex 24 last season. Do you have any plans in competing in that next year?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I took this year off just because of, the focus to return to IndyCar and making sure my fitness was where I needed to be for that and everything along that line. But it's a race that I really enjoy running, and hopefully I can be back on that grid next year.
What track are you most looking forward to in the 2016 schedule?
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm super excited to go back to Road America. Indy obviously is its own deal, and of course I'm looking forward to going back to Toronto. But, you know, Road America has been my favorite road course, you know, in America for years. And so getting the opportunity to go back in IndyCar and get to race there is something I'm really excited about.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us today, and wish you lots of luck in the IndyCar season throughout the rest of the year.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Once again, that was James Hinchcliffe, we talked to last season before his return to Indianapolis and the and IndyCar regional. I look forward to some of the coverage we're going to have of the IndyCar series this season on Speedway Digest. In the next couple of days, likely tomorrow, there will be a few articles popping up into the racing news section about IndyCar and their testing and some of the off-season developments. So be sure to check that out. As you know, most drivers have a special way of preparing for themselves for racing. We like to call that getting in the zone.
You're all alone when you're in.
Once again, that was In the Zone by John Pastana and the Pit Crew. I'd like to thank them very much for providing their music for us to use tonight and every night. Our next guest tonight, our final guest of the evening, is Justin Fontaine. ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards rookie Justin Fontaine will tell you that it was extremely hard to wipe the smile off his face following preseason testing last month with his Windtron racing team at Daytona International Speedway. 5 weeks later, Fontaine is smiling again, upbeat about returning to the World Center of Racing for his ARCA debut in Saturday afternoon's Lucas Oil Complete Engine Treatment 200, driven by General Tire. For his Super Speedway debut, Fontaine will drive the number 33 ProMatic Automation Toyota Camry for Windtron Racing, part of a two-car operation for the Mooresville, North Carolina-based team with teammate Gus Dean. Speaking of the test, Fontaine, a veteran of late models, turned in the 13th quickest lap overall in a two-day session that saw 52 drivers turn at least one lap around the 2.5-mile super speedway. He's looking forward to a great race this weekend and a great debut in his car, and we wish him lots of luck as he does that. We'll find out momentarily how he did in practice this afternoon. Now, let's go ahead and get Mr. Fontaine on the line.
Hello?
Hello, Justin. This is Adam Sinclair with Thursday Night Thunder. You're on the air. Whoops.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 8-2.
No, I got to try it again. Once again, I apologize for this. This is the fun of live radio broadcasting. Hello, Justin. This is Adam Sinclair with Thursday Night Thunder. You're on the air. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. First off, how was your off season?
It's been good, man. It was a little bit slow. Just kind of hung out with the family, and obviously was doing school at UNC Charlotte, but just staying busy, with all that stuff. But I'm ready to get back to racing. This off season thing is getting a little bit old, so I'm ready to get back to racing.
How did you do in practice today?
We were pretty good. I think that the timesheet, is not a very good representation of how good our car is. We handled real good and just kind of didn't get in the right pack to lay down a really good time. But we're pretty stout for Saturday.
And what are you most looking forward to about the race on Saturday?
Honestly, just getting the track time at Daytona. It's such a neat deal to get to race at a place like Daytona, especially for me. I've been going there since 2008 as a fan, and just to now get the opportunity to race it, all these years later is so cool. So, I know everybody in my family and on the race team is excited, and I think we have a real shot to do well on Saturday, and I'm just excited to get out there and learn as much as I can and hopefully get a good result for you guys.
You mentioned you're a student at UNC Charlotte. How do you manage to balance racing and education?
It's tough. It really is. I find myself, the thing that I've sort of taught myself to do over now I've been in high school and racing, and now I'm in college and racing. But the thing that I've kind of taught myself to do is have two different mindsets. When I'm at school and when I'm in class or working on homework, I can't be thinking about the race car or thinking about racing. I have to be thinking about, you know, getting work done. And then when I'm at the racetrack, you know, I can't be thinking about schoolwork. I got to be focused on getting a job done at the racetrack. So it's a tough balance, but you know, once you know where you're at and get your mind in the right place and know what to focus on when it's time to focus on it, it sort of becomes natural to you. And I've gotten used to it now over the few months that I've been doing it.
We've talked in this program numerous times about the difficulties in finding sponsorship. How's your experience been with finding sponsors, and what advice would you give an up-and-coming racer in trying to find a sponsor?
Well, you know, my experience is, I think every driver in my demographic will tell you that it's really, really tough. It's a much different motorsports world than when some of the older competitors that are out there now started, and the sponsorship landscape is a lot different than what it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So it's really, really tough. And for me, you know, I've been very fortunate to have partners and people that are around me that have helped me and kept me going through the years. But if I was to tell one thing to any one driver is never miss an opportunity to network at the racetrack or wherever you are. You know, never miss an opportunity to introduce yourself to people or reach out to people, because you just never know where that conversation will go. You know, and at the racetrack, that's the perfect place to do it, is to just talk to people, give them business cards, and you know, shake hands and just start getting your name out there. And it's tough to do. You know, you have to get down and work and make phone calls and that kind of thing. But if you really want to have a good chance at moving forward, you got to keep networking.
And how do you feel about the changes in ARCA in the past couple of years, the introduction of the composite cars and the Ilmor engines? How do you think that's changed the competition in the series?
I'm really excited for those changes, you know, and it's looking like we're going to start seeing the composite bodies run on the super speedways here in the next couple of years. I think ARCA has done a really good job of stepping up to the plate when it comes to, you know, the cost-saving initiatives and trying to make sure that these teams, because in ARCA it's a lot different than Cup, where, you know, even the big teams in ARCA are on a budget and, you know, having to make sure, you know, they're not, you know, throwing money away. And for ARCA to step up like they have is really cool. And I'm glad that they're taking the initiative and making sure that these race teams aren't breaking the bank as much, you know, to go racing. So I'm excited to see the new composite bodies. I'm not driven an ARCA car with a new composite body yet, so I'm excited to do that. I'm really excited about those changes. And I think that they've been really positive for the series.
I know a lot of the drivers in the ARCA garage don't necessarily compete in the entire series. How many races are you planning on competing in this year?
Right now we're looking at maybe half or so. We're going through the approval process to try to get approved for some truck races later in the year. But it's not going to, at this point, it's not a full schedule, but it is going to be, you know, a good part of the season, just to get my experience up and sort of, get a feel for the series and get my feet wet in the series. The idea and the hope is to go full time in something in 2018, but we haven't gotten anything, you know, solidified yet. But we want to get our feet wet in this series and then see kind of what direction it goes moving forward.
We discussed the sponsorship a moment ago. Can you tell us a little bit more about your sponsor?
Yeah. I've been very fortunate to have a really great partner with Promatic Automation. They've been with me since I started in K&N in 2016, and wanted to make the move with me after the truck series. I kind of started networking or working with them, like I said, at the beginning of last year, and just have been building that partnership and hopefully going to be able to build it into something even more moving forward. So they, you know, they've been with me now for going into their second year, and it's been a great relationship. Even some of our smaller partners like Halo EFX Performance Coatings has been with me since I raced in late model, and they're making the move up to the ARCA series with me as well. So we've got some great partners that have been with me, you know, from various points in my career, and they're continuing to stick with me, you know, moving forward.
And the big question: what do you think your odds are of ending up in victory lane on Saturday?
You know, I know everyone says, you know, Daytona is the crapshoot, and it can go one way or the other. I'm really confident we have a realistic shot at it. You know, there's good competition there. You know, Joe Gibbs has a car down here, and Venturini always good, and Cunningham's got good cars. But I really think that myself and my teammate Gus Dean, we've got two of the best chances to win on Saturday. And I'm really confident, you know, going in. Obviously, Daytona is Daytona, and it can go really, really good or really, really bad. And just about a half a second, it doesn't take that long, you know, for things to go south. So you have to be mindful of that. But based on our speed and the way our cars have been driving the last since, you know, the tests in January, I think we got a good shot to go out and win this race.
Well, we'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening, and maybe later in the year when you get started in the truck series, we can have you back on and talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, sir. That'd be great.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much.
Once again, that was Justin Fontaine, and we'd like to thank him again for coming on the program this evening. His team is located in Morrisville, North Carolina, Wintron Racing, owned by the former racer Kevin Sawiski, and the team is competing in the ARCA Series this year with driver Gus Dean and, of course, with Justin Fontaine, who has a several race schedules on his agenda for the year. And as he stated, he'll be trying out for the Camping World Truck Series, later this season. So hopefully that he does pretty well. I think that the ARCA field is very competitive this year, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to some of the other ARCA competitors in the next few weeks. We're looking forward to that, and hopefully it'll come to pass. Again, I'd like to thank some of the ARCA PR people for helping me get the people on both Michael Self and Justin Fontaine on the program this evening. Justin Fontaine on relative short notice. And we wish everyone in the ARCA Series a great race on Saturday. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. As I stated before, there'll be a few new articles on there about the IndyCar Series. There'll also be a couple about the Farah Series this weekend. And I might even throw in a NASCAR article or two in the racing news section. Look for my byline, Adam Sinclair, there, and you'll know all the things you need to know about modern motorsports. For those of you who are big NASCAR fans, be sure to also check out SpeedwayDigest.com. They have a great team of writers who are covering NASCAR this year. I know they have some people who are going to be in Daytona for the 500. I'm not aware of the fact they have any for the ARCA weekend, but you never know. As well as the clash taking place on this weekend as well. So we'll find out what happens there. It should be an interesting race for the 17 competitors. Although there are 20 of eligible, there are only 17 cars currently scheduled to race in the clash this weekend. So we wish all those guys good luck as well. If you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeachhappeningmag.com. We just completed our Valentine's Day contest there at Palm Beach Happening, and we have two awesome winners. We had great sponsors from Sloan's and Blaze Pizza, as well as the Wicked Delray Tours and Doris Italian Market. So we're planning a bigger contest for St. Patrick's Day, which will have which is going to be sponsored in part by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. So that'll be pretty cool. And I invite you to check that out. It's going to be posted about that on Palm Beach Happening tomorrow afternoon, 1 month before St. Patrick's Day. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to seeing you next week in the Thunderdome as we once again discuss the major issues in the world of modern auto racing. We'd also like to apologize for those of you who are fans of Michael Mullally. She was unfortunately unable to come on the program this evening, as Afreda is without power. For those of you who don't pay attention to the news, you probably should have. There was a major explosion there at a power facility, Lots of purple flames, green flames, and all sort of happy flames there, and it knocked out power there most of the day. It might be restored by Dow, but I really have my doubts considering that the explosion made it on the news here in West Palm Beach, Florida. As this weekend's activity centers around the Daytona International Speedway, we all know the big one is bound to happen, and you all end up, you know what happens when that happens. You end up being last when you crash. Have a nice weekend, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Same time, same channel, same web URL.
You did.